Hello, friends and fellow adventurers. Welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue Blood Lords. As always, we'd like to invite you to come join our Discord where you can hang out with us and other listeners of the show. And if you'd like to throw a little financial support our way, you can check out our Patreon. And a shout-out to all of those that are Lich level and above. Rock Jedi, Wolf, Blardimus Slump, Thunder Mammoth, The Trevor Project, Das Chris, Fizgig, AC Goldner, Eric R., Oakdusk and Sneak Right Pasture There, Indie Link, Tawdry Monster, Mercutio, Angel Shadowheart, Cy Rendon, The Necromancer Forever, Doc Holliday, Corey, Robert T., Jason K., Dicky Lopez, Bobson Dugnut, Rickety Ropebridge, Alex K., Doma Alaka, Frank L., Just Mike Works, Ross D., Argoon's Long Lost Elbow, Fink Deer, Zach S., Jamie H., Mr. Turtle, Sleeve, Darren, Caleb W., Pickle, Mr. Grimm, Fire Down, M54 Ewaz, Jameson S., Eric R., Plus 24% of Whacking, I'm Not a Robot, George F., Leo Hart, Hard Hard Har, Witch Hunter, Jeremy D., Matthew M., Scott E., Progeny of Cthulhu, Liz Giggles, Calistria Specialty, Brandon K., Grigus Maximus, Andrew G., Ebon Flames, Booming Thunder, Henry, and a School of Fish. Shout out to new patron this week at the Lich level, Ison Jam. Thank you all so much for your support. And now a recap of session 43. We're still in the witch Nethnelma's house. We've just destroyed an abomination in her basement. We've also found some evidence that links her to the poisoning plot. We go upstairs and find an elaborate ritual chamber. Confusingly, there's a giant painting of Arius. The room is empty of people and creatures. We take some tomes and find a hidden bedroom. As we explore, Nethnelma herself shows up with some assistance. There's no opportunity to even try lying as she sees Arius and immediately attacks. We blast through her undead summoning lackeys without much trouble, some solid rolls help, and Arius delivers the killing blow as she cries out why Arius and Zuriel have done this to her. Her destruction marks the end of the Graveclaw Coven.
Dang, we good.
Well, I suppose we have more time to look around now and make a few checks.
In the aftermath of the battle with Nethnelma and her teaching assistants, her black Icarus blood is dripping down the stairs. The townhouse now is silent. What do you do?
We grab that painting, finally.
Grab the painting, grab a few, the books that it seems like she was working out of. I look for any notes, journals.
Do I see any hints to what the ritual was, or did she say something before she died? Like, was it a ritual with the painting, or was it just a painting?
There was that release of energy when she died, so obviously there was more going on there. We never made the checks to find out.
The painting is very powerful.
Is it still, though?
Oh, that's a good point. I check, is it still, though?
The magic?
Yeah.
The detect magic that you were getting, that necromancy aura from the painting, is now gone.
All right.
Just a really nice painting of Arius now?
Now it's just a really nice painting of Arius.
Worth it.
It'll make more sense as you're going through her loot.
It makes sense now. I don't know what you're... What
Why
more is
you
there?
Want to draw
it is a wonderful
of
painting of me.
We definitely want to grab her body so we can ask questions of it, with Speak with Dead.
Yeah, that's what we want to do with it.
I think we'll grab these other three bodies as well and bring them to Bloodlord Haldoli so she can just have a few more servants while she's here, I guess.
What do you think Kix lives in Geb for? You think it was just, like, fun?
You keep insinuating weird shit, man. We're not going there. Necrophilia is not making it into the fucking podcast. I'm just throwing that out there.
We ain't going there.
I'll put the philia in necrophilia.
Not our party.
I mean, technically, we've made some sex jokes with Lucan's involvement, which
everybody wants to fuck
undead.
A vampire. That
We're
doesn't
talking
count.
About a dead
like,
body.
The body is like dead.
Oh, something without sentience.
My comment last week is I just wanted to keep one of those fucking chicks alive because I wanted one of them to be my kineticist. I mean, to be my. I wanted to be one of their characters, not have sex with them.
Quick question. We still have those bodies, right?
Oh,
the four,
God.
The four
probably
priests.
They're just piling up.
You're
just cramming them all in the bag of holding or what?
Yes.
We're going to need a separate bag of holding for bodies.
A bag of holding bodies.
It's just a body bag.
We need an ice chest body bag, yeah. Bag of holding.
We need a body bag and our loot bag.
A body one that we can keep refrigerated.
I just thought that character looked exactly like the character I was going to actually make, and then we had to murder all of them.
Yes. What do you guys not understand about, like, the edicts that I have to follow? Like, no mercy. I'd literally kill whatever we fight.
Oh, yeah, that character would not have lived very long. You guys would have just killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think a Pharazman really fits in with this group very well.
So, yeah. We'll certainly loot her.
So, interestingly, Nathnelma has nothing of interest. Unless you want a pair of Twilight Castrum robes.
We already passed on all the other ones in her.
So, effectively, after a thorough search, and you would have time now to do a thorough search, you find a ritual book, a formula book.
Is it a new ritual book, or is that...
The same ritual book from before. Yeah, not a new one.
Wasn't sure if it was two of them or just one. Okay.
A formula book, which has a formula for an item called a ghastly cauldron in it. And a ghastly cauldron is just basically a black cooking pot that produces a feast for undead. The ritual book you'll have to take a little bit of time to identify.
I can read it really quick.
There's the painting, what you found in the trunk, and the leather-bound journal. So, essentially, you picked up everything of value. Oh, the teacher's assistants have short swords, padded armors, and they each carry a moderate cognitive mutagen.
Okay.
The armor and weapons are not magical, though?
No, they are not. I would imagine probably all you care about is the mutagens.
Yeah.
So, are you guys going to take time to go through all of the loot here in the townhome, or are you taking it back to your inn? Or somewhere else?
I think back to the inn. I want to get our thoughts together before we present anything to Hal Dolly. Like, I want to have things more figured out. We also need to go see this Vilreath person, the priest from the Palladium.
Palladium.
Vilreath was the villain from Fall of Plaguestone.
No, Vilreath.
What was the name?
What was that guy's name?
Vilreath?
I thought you had said Vilreath.
No. It's Vilnithna.
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 Yeah. We're going to be visiting him after she dropped his name.
Yeah, it seems he sold us out. But yes, let's gather all this up and take it back to where we're staying, the inn.
I think the one thing that we would have to still do here is any checks on these portals or summoning circles to see if there's anything particularly special about them. They have any kind of link to the painting that we can figure out. I assume we'll have to do that here. Or have we already gotten all the information we can from that stuff?
You've gotten the information that you need. However, identifying some of the things in the ritual book would be easier here. Because of the nature of this room and its connection to what ritual was being performed.
So how long would it take to do that stuff then?
About 10 minutes on the ritual book.
Okay. I think we got time for that. Let's do that.
All right.
Got time.
Any caster or magic tradition skill works here. But anybody who wants to take a look at it.
How many of us can look at it at one time?
That seems a little much. Who wants to go first?
Who's got the highest bonus? I think probably Kix.
Yeah,
Kix on an occult. All right.
My best is a plus 11 religion, so.
Well, it's plus 12
and
arcane.
Kix grabs the book and takes a look.
28.
So the ritual book easily opens up to a ritual that outlines using a canvas and painting a subject. So that's the one you kind of focus in on. Your 28 is enough to identify this as something called the ritual, a portrait of spite. And I'm going to link it in chat here. This ritual doesn't work for Arius for a few reasons, but we modified it to work with undead. What you do is you compose a portrait of the target in perfect health. This ritual takes 7 days. So you compose a portrait of the target in perfect health. Once the portrait is complete, you recite your grievances against the target and enact on the portrait the punishments you wish to see them face. And you choose of one of several conditions, either clumsy, enfeebled, drained, or stupefied. At the completion of the ritual, the target makes a will saving throw, and you're only able to perform this ritual if you know the target's name and are able to see their face clearly in your mind's eye. The target suffers the effects over the course of 1d6 days, during which time the portrait transforms to reveal a caricature of the punishment you chose. So, like, yeah, for, like, maybe stupefied, it would show you in a confused state. Or, you know, maybe enfeebled, your bones would be cracked and falling apart, those sorts of things. So, you have a ritual book that contains the ritual for Portrait of Spite. There are three other rituals in this ritual book. It'll only take a half an hour to identify them with some solid checks. In fact, if you want to just make it an hour, I'll just identify them.
Hell yeah, we read books for an hour.
Okay, sure.
Do that book for an hour. Inside the ritual book are the following rituals. Create undead for the morgue variant undead. Create undead mummy. And create undead wraith.
Wow.
It's got three more create undead rituals.
Fancy.
On top of the ones that you had previously. For the scrolls that were in the trunk.
Yes.
The first scroll is a scroll of Mirror's Misfortune. Second scroll is a scroll of Replicate.
All right, I'll look into those.
And the potions that are in here are moderate healing potions. There's two of them. These...
Gross.
...are illegal to have.
Yeah, they're positive energy.
These healing potions are illegal to possess.
I leave them here. Don't even take them with us. Let them be incriminating evidence.
Do you guys ever look at the heightened fifth on Thoughtful Gift? That's fucking nonsense.
No.
I don't even know what Thoughtful Gift is.
First off, it's a wonderful first level spell. But the fifth level version of it is fucking ridiculous. I just can, like, send an item of one bulk up to a mile away to anybody's hand without line of sight. Oh, I can just, like, be like, oh, this is cool. I wonder if Kix would like this from a mile away. And boom, it's in his hand. I don't need to know where he is. I don't need to see him. It's just boom. He has it.
You don't even need to know where.
You just need to be extremely familiar with the target. So, a
which
party
I think
member
is a really, like, yeah, I was going to say it's just a way of saying a party member. That's pretty fucking cool.
I mean, how familiar are we talking?
He heard me talk about my dad.
Do you leave the healing potions behind?
I suggest doing so. If somebody wants to take them, they can, but I say I'm not even touching them.
The only reason I think we would take them would be to use them, as you said, as evidence that she was doing something wrong. But I think we are probably better off just leaving them here.
I can break them down into crafting reagents. Because
okay. Then it brings up the question of why were we there?
That's fair. Okay. You've identified the rituals in the ritual book. There's a formula book containing that formula for a ghastly cauldron. A couple of cognitive mutagens. Some gold. Some really nice sheets. A bedding set.
Yeah. Anything else of value in this house while we're here?
Nah, that's it.
She didn't have anything on her. That's just annoying. That's kind of the thing about 2E. Like, casters don't have a whole lot that they use.
Oh.
At least not, especially not at lower level. What kind of, I mean, so she doesn't have, like, a spell book? Was she, like, a sorcerer or a hag or a witch? I suppose a witch, I suppose. And witches, well, I didn't see a familiar, though.
No. Actually, she's just an occult casting creature. That's kind of just like all hags are. They're hags that...
Like a hag, yeah.
It's not nice to call someone a creature. I'm just going to say that. It's kind of rude. Tyler, you're a fucking creature.
I'm trying to think of a response to that, and I don't think I have one. Good. And I'm all right with that. No, there is nothing else of value in Nethnelma's home.
All right, we're out of here then.
So you stuff some bodies into a bag of holding and you fuck off, right?
Yep. Yeah, I want to go back to the inn. I want to go through the evidence, put it all together, get it organized, get my thoughts organized on how I want to present it to Aldoli, maybe also Zithni and the other guy, and rest, level up, and handle the rest of it the next day. And also, yeah, gonna go pay Vilnithna a visit.
So you're able to make it back to your inn, no problem. I mean, you have that bag of holding that you have the bag that you have the bodies in. And when you fall asleep or rest for that day, you wake up the next level. You gain a level. It puts you at what?
8.
Level 8?
So powerful.
Level 8. Let's have Ted tell us what Arius's level 8 looks like.
Pretty straightforward. I took a bunch of feats. I took Martyr for my class feat. That allows me that whenever I'm using the harm spell from my harmful font to restore hit points to a single ally, I can channel my own vitality through it, and I lose 1d8 hit points per level of the spell, and my ally regains an equal number of those hit points. So basically I can transfer some of my own HP to my allies that I'm healing with my harmful font. Which works out now, because I now have the most HP out of the party, and I'm supposed to be a caster, so we're going to go with that.
You know, it's really interesting that actually gives a lot of power to a single action harm.
Yeah. Oh, this is a metamagic feat, so it does take one action as well. So if I add that to a 2-action harm, make it 3 actions, like that's a lot of healing. At 8th level, that's 40, 10, plus 48, plus 32.
That is a lot of healing.
We're a tanky group with the summoner, the champion, and the warrior.
And then
priest.
There's me.
And then we got the quick. Who cares about him? I don't. It's whatever. And then moving on, my free archetype feat, I took Advanced Maneuver, which I took Power Attack, because, you know, what cleric doesn't need Power Attack? And then for my skill feat, I took Terrified Retreat because I like scaring shit. And I want to make shit run away now when I make it scared.
Terrified Retreat is going to be interesting in play. I think, Swanee, did Moonlight take Terrified Retreat?
Oh yeah, that's the one where if you critically
succeed,
they run, they flee.
Specifically if you critically demoralize them, yeah.
Yeah, solid control when you're looking to lay that down on some lower level creatures.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun.
Arius, I'd ask you about spells, but we all know what you did.
That took harm.
So we're going to go. Who wants to go after Arius for their level 8?
Shara can go. So Shara's going to take the Bastion dedication for their class feat. And that is a new dedication feat where I receive what's called Reactive Shield, which gives me a reaction to raise my shield if I don't have it raised. The trigger is an enemy hits you with the shield. So if somebody, or it hits me with a melee strike. So if somebody is attacking me with a melee strike, I can react reflexively or reactively bring my shield up and have it count for that attack.
Boy. You know, it didn't occur to me. I didn't know until now that this is what you were doing, but I thought Shara was tanky before. You're throwing the Bastion archetype on her. This is going to get ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I
mean, the next few feats I take are actually martial. Go back to the martial dedication, but...
Oh, okay.
I just didn't have anything I really liked at this level, so I was like, hey, let's... Let's get this Bastion dedication going.
Well, you can't actually take... Oh, no, I suppose you can take... You can't take another dedication feat until you've taken 2 other feats from the Bastion archetype. But you wouldn't be taking another dedication feat. You already have the Martial dedication.
Correct. That's at least my reading of it. Because I'm then taking archetype feats, not dedication feats.
Yeah, and dedication is its own trait on those feats as well. So, yeah, that's pretty clear. Wow. All right. Okay. Okay. So you get a little better at tanking.
It just makes it so that if I decide not to raise my shield because I really have something else I wanted to do, or I spent three actions moving to get into position, I still could potentially get my shield raised.
That sounds like a better tank to me.
Yeah, sounds like a good tank to be in a team. So that's my class feat, my archetype, my free archetype. I'm taking back to back. So another fun thing for us to remember for the martial dedication, as long as myself and an ally are adjacent to each other, neither of us can be flat-footed due to flanking. Unless both of us are flanked. So it just makes it harder for our enemies to flank us.
Yeah,
and get us flat-footed.
If you're adjacent to more than one ally, all eligible allies can benefit at a given time. The benefit is negated for everyone if at least you and any one eligible ally are flanked. But not if your allies are flanked and you aren't. So the only way to stop that would be to have a party of enemies. It'd have to be a party of at least four, maybe three, that flank both Shara and someone else in order to negate that benefit. Holy shit.
That's pretty good.
That's a fucking great support feat. What archetype is that from? Is that Marshall?
That's from Marshall Dedication.
Damn, that's good. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Marshall is actually... I know I've heard people talk about the Marshall Dedication. I'd never really looked at it. It's a really good dedication.
That is solid. That is a solid feat. Okay, okay. Skill feat?
Skill feat, I really didn't have anything I was super excited about. But given that I do have the can't be reduced below Frightened 1 if they're within range of me or within my aura, I took Battle Cry.
Oh, I was going to take Battle Cry. Nice. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
There you go.
So I have the potential of demoralizing them before we even really get started.
Solid.
Wasn't my favorite feat. I mean, Moonlight had it, and I think I used it like twice. Because it's really situational. Didn't work as well for Moonlight, because Moonlight was always in the back. You didn't want to be up front.
Yeah.
When you're rolling initiative, but I just went with it. We'll see how it goes.
I was between that or Intimidating Retreat. I ended up going with Retreat, because I couldn't think of when I would use the Battle Cry. And also, I think if you critically hit, you can intimidate them too.
If you're legendary,
yep. So it gives you more, which would be at like 17th level, I think.
Random side note, we're 8th level, and I can, if I rolled next to max on my max level harm, I can almost heal over 100, or I can heal over 100. The cap's at 104 right now.
Nice.
With Martyr, I can break 100.
At 8th level.
Sweet, dude, you can overheal me.
I mean, that's not at a max for three of us.
Given the fact that we now have, I would say now that we have three people with over 100 hit points.
It's true.
But the scaling on it's fucking stupid. Like, thinking about, like, next level when I get 5th level spells, that's going to be 40, 90,
yeah, 130. You're actually adding, what, an extra
130 cap? 1d8, 1d10, because my normal d8s are d10s for the spell. And another 8 static, so cap at 130 then. Right.
Monster. Machine.
That's so much fucking healing. I'm hurting myself a ton too, but fuck it.
Yeah. So Shira is a better tank now. After Bastion and back to back, that's a pretty solid support decisions there. Who wants to go next?
I will.
Kix. Kix, what's level 8 look like?
Level 8 class feat is Brain Drain. Nice. I can target a non-mindless creature within 30 feet with a will save. If they fail, they're stupefied, and I regain a focus point.
Oh, nice.
You really like making people feel stupid, don't you?
Yeah. It's because I have to take it every turn that I need other people around me to be stupefied as well.
You need to bring people down to your level, right?
Everyone must be dumber than me. Fuck you. You're stupefied.
Oh, man.
There was another one that I could take. Is that, like, one I took in the playtest? Or, like, if I'm out of focus points, my, like, nose bleeds and I take a bunch of damage.
Oh.
But it's quite a bit. It's 20 damage, and that's kind of... That's a quarter of my health.
I can heal over 100. It's fine.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's
take all the damage you want. I'll heal you up.
You gotta hit you. I gotta hit things. In between Me and Tyler are working with Living Vessel. We're dumping into Pack Binder dedication with Pack of Infernal Prowess since I made a deal with the devil. This gives me once per hour. If I critically fail a check, I can reroll the check as a free action. This is an unfortunate effect. You can choose to automatically automatically succeed at checks to earn income for tasks below your level. Okay. For a skill feat, recognize threat. If the first time in an encounter, if there is a creature that can be recognized by something I have a master in, so currently occultism, I get a free attempt at a recall knowledge check.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So, yeah, the trigger is your first turn of an encounter begins, and I can see a creature. So, if a cult would recognize them, I get a free check. The second combat starts.
You get it for free. Solid. Okay. Kix gets recognizing things a little better. I do really like Brain Drain because it gives you that, you know, focus point in the middle of combat.
Yeah, that's what I want back. I might also take the other one that makes my nose bleed next time because I like me some focus points.
More focus points, baby.
And I don't know if anyone's ever looked at this spell, but Implement of Destruction is what I grabbed for his spell. I target an ally's weapon for a minute, and it does all this shit.
Holy crap. Huh.
So if I give one of you guys' weapons 2d6 mental damage on success or persistent on failures and crits, and if you guys critically hit them with the weapon I've gave them the implement to, you doom the enemy.
Is the target still a single enemy?
So the target for the spell is one enemy and one weapon that is either unattended or wielded by you or a willy now.
Okay.
So at the time that you cast the spell, the enemy would make the saving throw.
I mean, doom means nothing to this. It just sounded like a fun spell because doom doesn't...
Like, here's a really interesting thing about Bloodlords is a lot of the spells that really fit this AP are kind of those spells that fit pretty firmly into the this is normally just a GM spell.
Yeah.
So doomed in a GM's hand is a lot, but in a player's hand, it doesn't mean as much. You're right. But persistent mental damage ain't nothing to fuck with.
It's pretty solid.
It's pretty sweet.
But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Just a quick note on Pact of Infernal Prowess. The Living Vessel archetype does kind of call out that Pact Binder feats can be made available depending on what's appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
The Pact of Infernal Prowess basically is codifying what happened in the underwater temple to Urgothoa at the Statue of Dagon with Kix and the Entity. So, yes, this is codified. Kix is pact with that devil.
Ooh.
This is spooky. Spooky archetype.
David, tell me about yourself.
All right. That leaves us with Lucan. Lucan, what's level 8 look like?
Level 8. We'll start with my skill feat. I'm just going to take quick identification. That's useful sometimes and I think makes sense. Then for my archetype feat, I'm taking Clinging Climber. You climb like a spider. You gain a climb speed of 15 feet, so I can do the creepy wall climb vampire thing.
Okay.
Which I think is fun and useful for Lucan to like get out of harm's way, which he very much enjoys doing. But the big thing is my class feat, literally hulking size. Sundrinker is now large, which means Sundrinker has a base reach of 15 feet, and with my one-action tendril strike, a reach of 20 feet.
So it's taking up 4 squares still?
Yeah, taking up 4 squares, the thought is potentially I would retrain a earlier class feat to swap it out with Shrink, which allows you to make your Eidolon smaller sizes if you want. So if like going through dungeons or something where a Sundrinker just wouldn't fit, I can shrink them down. But otherwise, I'll get that at level 10. so I can just go with it for two levels with such a drinker being stuck being large.
You know, I actually have a question for you with that thought of retraining. How much, because I'm looking at your class feats. You have Extend Boost at second level, Tandem Movement at fourth, yep. and Eidolon's Opportunity, which gives the Attack of Opportunity at sixth.
Yeah.
Out of those three, I feel as though Tandem Movement probably has the least value.
Yeah, particularly as Sun Drinker's reach gets bigger and doesn't need to move so much. So it'd either be Tandem Movement or Extend Boost.
But he definitely has been using it quite a bit.
I use it quite a bit. Extend Boost, I don't get a ton out of Extend Boost, particularly because my nature check is not very good. And you have to have a decent nature check to make Extend Boost really worthwhile. The best thing about it is that it's a free action to just get stuff.
That's true.
Essentially, you just get stuff for free.
It doesn't really cost anything if you fail either, right?
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything if you fail. It's just a free thing you can do. But, yeah, I would consider retraining Extend Boost to Tandem Movement.
Well, there you have it. The Sinner's at 8th level. You wake up the next morning. What do you do?
Well, this is where I want to sit down with all of the information we have and really put it all together and, like, prepare a presentation with all of our evidence.
For Berline.
For Berline.
This is actually a really good spot just for a quick, from bottom to top sort of summary. Like, you were all recruited by Bloodlord Haldoli to check out this farm that wasn't reporting food. You find out that there was some sort of poisoning plot going on there. You traced it through some gangs to a changeling who only had three fingers, the symbol that led you to her to an extent. After that, you discovered that Kepgeta, who was the changeling, book one BBEG, was the daughter of an Anis hag named Iron Tavia. And you went to the infamous cottage to trace the poisoning plot further and discover that this coven called the Grave Claw is producing these ingredients, the Tremor Paste and the Brain Grit. Sani, Bride of the Sea, and Sallow Shore was the second member that you killed of the Grave Claw hags. Sani was producing very high quality ingredients. After dispatching Sani, you discovered another hag, a rust hag, in Pak Ged. Her name is Decrosia. And she is mass-producing in this rusted-out X-factory town, this wartime factory now in disrepair and being run by this hag, producing large quantities of Tremor Paste and Brain Grit. After dispatching of her, you find that there is somebody funding all of this, at least all of the shipments that you've seen. And they're coming from somebody named Nathnelma in Eled, which led you here. And that's kind of where you're at. You've now dispatched the last of the Grave Claw Coven. It is no more.
Got him.
Bitches.
So, that's kind of what's, real quick summary, what's happened up until now. I have a question for Shara. How much of the plot is Shara privy to? What's going on?
I mean, it's more for the group. Because it would depend on how much they have shared with Shara.
Yeah, when did you come in again?
Sharing with Shara.
Coming into the cottage. So that was two hags ago.
Oh, Lucan's a talker. Luke, honestly, two hags ago.
How many hags ago was that?
Luca can't keep a secret for shit, not for any extended period of time. So, absolutely anything. If you wanted to know, all you'd have to do is ask Luca and he'd spill all the beans. He doesn't care.
And I feel like I probably would have asked at some point, been like, so what exactly are we doing
here? Yeah. Oh, darling, let me tell you, this is quite the story.
Like, the Pallid Princess led me here. So what are we doing?
You say your god led you here? Huh. Well, whatever. It's been an excellent addition. Let me say, I all step above the last fellow, Gerdrug, the ghost. Couldn't even climb a fence.
I hear some ghosts have that problem.
Yes, they have trouble getting up. Not my problem.
Don't think about that too hard with a vampire.
But yeah, I would just absolutely tell you the whole story.
Works for me. So Cher would know everything then.
Yes.
Yeah, she's definitely thought a little bit about what the priest has said, about the fact that this might be something Urgothoa would want. But then she keeps coming back to the fact that Urgothoa led her here to this group that's trying to stop it. So she's literally putting it all on faith.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting, because you'd think Urgothoa would want this.
And you know what? That might be completely wrong, but that's what she's going with.
Yeah. That's the thing about faith.
I wasn't expecting an evil crisis of faith.
I kind of like it.
I do too. Fuck, we're going to have to play with that later. No time for it now.
My characters have depth, man.
Yes. Yes, they do. Look at that. Look at that.
Lugan technically worships Urgothoa, but I think to the extent that most, you know, folks in Geb do, just kind of like, oh, yeah. Sure.
Very much just a cursory thing.
One of the major things that you took at Nathnelma's was a leather-bound journal. In the journal, as far back as you can in the journal, you're discovering about this poison plot. There is this benefactor, this unknown benefactor. In fact, Nathnelma goes back and forth about whether or not to trust the benefactor or not. But not at any point in the journal is the benefactor named. They're directed to create these large quantities of tremor paste, brain grit, and shadow ash, and to place them at drop points. And the drop points always change.
Does it say anything about how she finds out where the next drop is?
She always gets a note sent to her. You can see in the journal the amount of time that's passed from when they agreed to this. Nathnelma was giving a vast sum of gold to give to the hags in the Graveclaw in order to produce these items. You also discover in the journal that Nathnelma kept all of the gold for herself, to use for rare components and undead rituals or really expensive sheets.
So the hags are doing it for free?
The rest of the Graveclaw is doing it for free.
They really just believe in the cause, I guess.
Yeah, they had the leader of the coven gave them a directive, and separately they worked on it. Then you get to the point where Iron Tavia dies. Nathnelma makes note of it. Iron Tavia has been killed. The coven still stands with three, but something's wrong. And later on, Sani, Bride of the Sea, dies, and her writing gets more frantic. The coven is broken. We don't have the three. Dacrosia and I are all that's left, and she starts making notes about how she's going to try to shore up her own position within the Twilight Castrum and begin to look for the third.
So they need three for something.
The coven.
Three to be a coven.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think that's like the rules. It's
rule of three or whatever.
What is it? It's the matron, I can't fucking remember.
The matron, the crone, and the virgin.
And the virgin, yes, that's it.
So she does get a little frantic, and a lot of notes in here about potential candidates in the student body. That's what she's using her position to search out for, a changeling, somebody that they could bring into the coven. They don't find any success by the time the sinners killed Dacrosia. And when Dacrosia goes, there's almost relief from Nathnelma, and she realizes that she can begin to look for a coven. But now that the benefactor has stopped responding or hasn't dropped her any messages, and maybe they're aware of the coven breaking or of the discovery of the poison plot, and they stopped reaching out to Nathnelma.
Did somebody get on to us, figure out that we're on to them, and they stopped?
More recent entries talk about rumors among the student body of a potential herald of Zuriel and how Arius could be someone who is attempting to stop or was maybe a culprit or a suspect. So Nethnelma suspected Arius based on rumor and hearsay.
Suspected me of what? Being awesome?
Being completely responsible for killing the coven. So there's a lot of hate in this journal directed at Arius, right up to the end. Right where she gets her hands on the portrait of Spite and figures out how to make it affect a skeleton, and then beginning the ritual after finding her secondary casters and her painter. She wasn't the one painting it. That leads us to present day.
Well, we certainly want to try and track down the lead of this benefactor in any way possible. Maybe you said and I just didn't fully catch it, but is there anything that gives any kind of like motivation for this? Like a why?
Not that you can discern. There's been...
Yeah, because it's all the benefactor, I assume, right?
The benefactor is the first thing that you've discovered that leads to somebody asking the hags to do this. But all you know about them is that there's drop points, they invested a large sum of gold, and that they stopped contacting the leader of the coven after the coven was broken.
So she specifically says that the benefactor has stopped reaching out to her. Okay. So we've destroyed the Graveclaw coven. They're all dead, as far as we know.
Yep. There's one thing that you can infer from the journal, and if you don't know this, your characters might, is that members of a coven have this mental link with one another. So if that link is severed, they know that that member of the coven has died. So that is inferred here, almost certainly.
Thinking back on it, who could be an informant? Who knows about this? Well, the Graveclaws, obviously, but it seems as though they weren't the ones who actually told the benefactor that all this shit was going down, that we were coming. Maybe they did, I don't know. So it could have just been the Graveclaw that told them about us. Other than the Graveclaw themselves, I would think it'd have to be somebody with some influence, because like I feel like we've killed everybody we've run across who could possibly be like a fucking spy, with the exception of like the Kuthite guy, Berline, and the other two bloodlords we've interacted with.
Yeah, maybe that's our next step, is to bring all this to Berline and see if she has any new leads or anything.
New leads, new ideas, yeah.
Before we try to spend too much time.
And also we've got the corpse of Nethnelma. And I think it'd be worthwhile bringing her back and asking her some direct pointed questions.
Oh yeah, because we do know that Berline can speak with dead.
Yes. Let's go do that. We do that.
All right.
Plan, yes. But Berline alone. I don't want my fuckboy vampire friend or the old guy around.
Okay. So that means you go to the hostel that Berline is staying at.
Yes. And if she ends up being the twist villain, I won't be all that upset. It'd be kind of cool.
Just a random reminder. I think I still have that question where I can ask anybody a question or something.
You can ask that guy any question.
About any NPC that he knows in town. He knows is the honest truth about that person, he will tell you.
I have no idea if that helps right now, but I do have that still. I wasn't even listening to what you guys were doing. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
No, I'm glad you remembered that, because I didn't. Yeah, you could tell him all that we know and say, okay, who do you think this benefactor is? That's who I want to know about.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah. That might be too vague, though.
That might be too vague, but it also, do we have any other use for this thing?
Yeah, I could ask him about who... Because they both wanted Nethnelma alive. Maybe your question is why.
That's fair. But that's not about a person, I guess. Or it's about
Nethnelma.
You.
Or might not even need to use the question, could just ask like why? Why? What could you have possibly wanted her alive for?
So you head to the hostel?
Yeah.
You know exactly where Berline is, you know where she's staying. Shara went and had a conversation with her shortly after running into her in the square. You get escorted there, and Glorinsa and Reacher are with her. Reacher standing rigid at attention, sword at his side. Glorinsa clumsily fetching tea and arranging the room. It's a large room. Takes up like the quarter of one floor, you know, if only for a bloodlord, right? So there's a kitchenette and all that attached. But you're in her sitting room around a table. And much like most of these conversations go, she's sipping at a cup of hot something. In this case, it's Earl Grey tea. She hears what you have to say. What do you tell her? Do you tell her everything, or are there pieces of this that you keep?
Last time we did that didn't go too well. She got kind of mad.
She was not too happy.
Yeah. It was fun, though. But we'll tell her everything.
Once, probably.
But
she,
only
she
once.
Made it pretty clear, don't do that again.
Don't fucking do that again.
I think we should tell her everything. Along with, you know, I know we were supposed to keep them alive, but Arius.
So you lay it all out to her. She takes a sip from the tea and she sets it down. Well, there's a lot there. Interesting. Although the most important thing, and I have to really lead with this, you all did a wonderful job.
Ah, well, thank you, Berline. Bloodlord.
You took my suggestion on all fronts, dealing with all opposition with the only way that you deal with opposition like this. With brutality. And I like that about you. Oh, I like that about you a lot.
That is high praise coming from you, Bloodlord.
You brought me more than just a head this time.
Yes, sorry she's not alive, but she really left us no choice, and hopefully she'll still answer questions.
You know, Arius.
Yes. She was quite terrified of Arius.
Who isn't? Am I right?
Verlaine looks Arius up and down, and he's becoming a character of note.
Thank you. That does a compliment.
You're welcome, then. Before I bring her back for a conversation, what do you plan on telling Bloodlord Zithni and Bloodlord Kyra?
We have not quite yet determined, I must say. Mm. We shall see. We wanted to consult with you first. And in private, of course.
What do you plan to do with this body after this conversation?
Well, that was part of, at least my thought, would be that we see if they would wish to raise her.
They?
Bring her back if they... Well, they both wanted her alive.
Oh, they did. They did. But unfortunately for both of them, they don't have the magic to do so. Not the means, nor the knowledge.
We could raise her as an undead, but I do not believe that's what they're looking for.
You know, this one time, I'll give you a choice. Maybe more in the future, I don't want to limit myself. You're becoming rising stars. At least you will after news of this comes out. I'll let you choose. You can either leave the body with me, and maybe I will speak with all high praise to you, of you to the reanimators, if you wish to learn some specific necromantic magics. Or maybe raise your reputation with the celebrants. As Shara, I think you may have interest in doing? Perhaps. Well, leave that to you. And really, all four of you. I'm interested to see what kind of decision you come to. Oh, don't forget about Kyril. The Export Guild, this affects them greatly. A poisoning plot? Stopped? Its heroes goes to... Ooh. And she picks up the tea. She watches you over the rim with a amused smirk on her face, like expecting you to come to that decision before she brings her back for just a discussion.
Well, if you would like to have the body, I see no reason we would not leave her with you, Bloodlord.
Yes, I concur. Not to say I don't trust the other two, but I don't know them so well. But you, I believe we are... confidants, at least. I trust you implicitly, Bloodlord, so, yes. I would say we'd leave the corpse with you.
I mean, We have been tasked and we have been rewarded by you. Them, not so much.
Well, I had some rewards from Zithni, I must say. But not nearly so many as from you, Bloodlord.
Oh, different kinds, I can imagine. Won't see me in that position. Apologies for the double entendre. I appreciate you. And from what I can gather, the poison plot, with the application of the plot, has been disbanded from you. Unless there's different wings or sects, you haven't mentioned anything about communication with other covens.
Not other covens, but there was a benefactor. And that is the main thing we need to speak with Nethnelma about, if we can get any information about this benefactor. Apparently, the poison plot really wasn't their idea. They were just the ones hired to procure the poison and make it work. They were paid by someone else, someone powerful and wealthy, it would seem.
Must be.
Product had been distributed or dropped to this person at some point, but has not, apparently, for some time.
So you've grabbed a thread, and we tugged, and we tugged, and we have a strand of string discarded with no idea the larger picture.
Yes, and we have this new thread that has just started, but not really sure where to go with it.
After the news of your dismemberment of the Graveclaw Coven and its plot to poison the Quick, it's going to be an interesting time for you all. Politically, it's going to be an interesting time. Don't tie yourselves so securely to me. It's hard to rise in power if you don't aim for somebody or somewhere other than at my heels. Though I appreciate that.
Well, and as much as I appreciate you, Bloodlord, I must say it is at your shoulder I would wish to be, not directly affiliated, but as an equal, as a Bloodlord myself one day. I certainly came to Geb with designs of such.
This wicked smile crosses her face. I was hoping that you would say that. I'll do all that I can to help get you there. But this is about you reaching that point on your own from here. If you want my advice, return back to your manor. Regain a foothold where you have property. Use your names. And wait for this benefactor to make its next move.
I may try and find some proactive ways to act as well, but that is not a bad idea. However, if we were to try and gain political power in Greydirge, would we not be taking some from you?
At my shoulder, Lucan, would be just phenomenal. There's so much scheming and vying for power that exists in the political scene, just in the Bloodlords in general.
Of course.
But as long as there's just an understanding, there's plenty of room for more in Greydirge.
Very well. As long as we have an understanding.
It seems we do. Well, let's do this.
And she begins the incantation for Speak with Dead.
Excellent.
Talking corpse. Okay, it's a 10-minute cast. So enjoy your beverages, and she cast it. Takes 10 minutes.
Shara can actually enjoy a beverage.
That's true.
Nathnelma's body, and if I recall correctly, was pretty badly mutilated by Arius.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was maybe cut in half or sliced several other times. So her form doesn't have an easy time speaking, but as it stirs and the head turns from the floor to look up at you all sitting down having your tea, Nathnelma sees the evil grin of Bloodlord Haldoli, and then the four of you, and the mouth goes, "Yow!"
Yes, us.
Ask your questions, then.
Okay, how many questions do we get?
This is, I believe it's three. Yes, three questions posed.
Tell us everything you know about the benefactor.
That's not a question.
That's true. That is a command.
Yeah. Who is the benefactor might be an option, but she might just say she doesn't know.
Well, they do have to answer like...
Yeah, but she might not know.
She might not know.
But, I mean, I guess it's worth a question, I think.
Who do you think the benefactor is? That way she has to give us her conjecture. Who do you think the benefactor is who hired you to create this poison?
Holy shit, I don't know. Give me a second.
Yeah, you're going to have to dive into her brain. How much research, how much looking into this has she done? What are her suspicions? You're just going to get, you're going to just need to drop the BBEG right here now.
Take arrow point, because that's a real, it's a really good question, and she's going to have an answer. I just need to figure out what her answer would be.
This is okay. I can't help my brilliance.
I mean, you could. You tried drugs and alcohol.
I mean, yes.
Duh.
I think it's Blood Lord Zithni.
Blood Lord Zithni. All right.
Which one was Zithni again?
The vampire. The vampire fuckboy.
The one that we partied with?
Yep.
Should my question be, is he... Are you, I don't even know what the fuck we were doing. We were looking for, like, a traitor or something, weren't we?
Yeah.
Should my question be, are you the traitor?
No, we're talking to Nathnelma's corpse right now.
Yeah, but...
No, but he's saying, should he
my
use
My question
his
I can use with Zithni, should question. It be, are you the traitor?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh,
are you the traitor? And then we roll initiative.
Oh yeah, Kix, you got your thing because you beat him in a fucking game. That's what it was.
No, I fucking lost the game too because I played like an idiot that didn't want to play the game and not know
no,
the rules.
No, he got a rod of wonder.
I got a rod of wonder from that.
Oh, he got last place or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, because like he didn't try or something like that.
It was because
like,
he was
specifically
taking bad actions during the game. Which is hilarious. I love it.
The pity prize.
Turns out to be a magic item.
So, do we have anything important left to ask her? Because I feel like that was basically it. I kind of want to ask her why she hates Arius and Zuriel so much.
Have you met me?
We could ask why she thinks it's Zithni.
Yeah, that was another thought.
And then use the last one to ask why she hates Arya so much. Although she kind of put it in her journal why.
She did.
So I'm clearly the leader of this group with all the RP I do.
Clearly.
Clearly.
I mean, I am in the front and center of the artwork.
That's true, you are.
I don't know how the fuck that happened.
Because it looks so badass, that's how it happened. Because
he looks badass.
Should have put Kicks up front. The little tiefling
I do
boy.
Like how dapper Kicks looks. Yeah, I honestly don't know what other questions to ask. I don't know if anything else is really... What else are we interested in?
What makes you think it's Zithni?
He was aware of me because of his donation to the college. He moves in shortly after I was first contacted.
Okay.
Kind of weak, but...
Definitely weak.
But that might be all she has to go on, so...
Yeah. Okay, I want to ask her why she agreed to do it. What's in it for her? Certainly you didn't need the money. Why did you agree to go along with this?
More money and power in the Grave Claw.
Fucking capitalist. Wait, I'm in Geb. I shouldn't say that.
More power in the Grave Claw or more power for the Grave Claw? Because she was already the leader, wasn't she?
She was. Occultism? Kix has occultism. Kix, make an occultism check.
22.
Never mind. As the corpse of Nathnelma goes limp again and, you know, twitches down to dead corpse. Anyways, Berline sighs.
Hags, if you know anything about covens, they always vie for power over each other. It's a constant power struggle, especially a coven of four members, because that means one of them is naturally dispensable.
Yes, I thought there were supposed to be three.
Three is the required. A coven can be, well, as many hags as can stand to be around each other long enough to bring them in. But they always vie for more power for the coven and in the coven.
Well, it worked out poorly for her.
Yes, it did. Well, congratulations. Would you like me to spread the word? Or would you like to do that?
You mean with, like, this is the question with, like, do we want it to be with the reanimators or somebody different?
No. The word of your success, I guess, is what she's...
Oh, I promise I will not be able to shut up about it. But please also feel free to sing our praises. I figure if I cause a scene, perhaps I can just provoke this benefactor to reveal themselves more quickly. Maybe I can get under their skin.
Hmm. How long have you been in Geb?
Only a couple of years.
Oh, that makes more sense. I've been here my entire life. I will tell you this. If the benefactor is one of the dead, they're thinking in terms of decades, of centuries, and depending, maybe even millennia. Geb's been around forever.
Yes.
Held off necks. Invaders from the south, from the Holomog. Very long time.
Yes, all due respect to the Lord Geb, of course.
At this point in Galarian's history, it's probably one of the most stable nations to live within. So long as you can handle its stability.
That's why I came here myself. Well, that time of empire.
The reason I bring that up, I don't expect your attempts at provocation will be successful. Easier to let your noise pass with what little political power you have now than to risk outing themselves for something that they may have been scheming hundreds of years over. But that's just me.
I certainly take your advice in high regard.
Well, I'll figure out what to do with this corpse. And thank you for your visit.
Yes.
So, if we had more power, you think they would act more quickly?
Political power in Geb is everything.
Everything indeed. But just how much political power will we be able to amass for ourselves? And will our gambits pay off? Find out next time as we continue Bloodlords. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.